gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My Brussels sprouts.
Well, you know what? When you do that, I have to get the blowback from the show that comes in after us. I'm the one who gets asked, can you say to her, please don't bring in stuff like that anymore?
No. Good thing Karen doesn't have smell-o-vision.
Wow.
The show is not currently available in
Scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff. Thank you, Jackie Sucker. Look what we have in studio. We have a pretty shiny TV news thing. I kidnapped her for the entire weekend. Today she's going to go spinning with me after the show. And then tomorrow, Melissa Fitzgerald and you and I are going to a play. And we're going out to drinks and dinner. And
what do you see?
Whatever.
Pardon me?
What do you see?
Other desert cities.
Oh, it's awesome. It's a totally implausible plot. It's about a liberal woman who writes a book and has to go and explain it to her Republican family.
Yes. Wow, that's weird. That never happens.
All right. So,
based on a true story.
Somebody's playing me.
All right. It got great reviews when it was on Broadway.
On Broadway.
And
don't go for booze. Yes. And dope.
Right. Well, we're going for booze and dope after the play.
The market forum does go for booze.
Right.
Not dope
so much.
You should
go to Porter Grill downtown while you're there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yes. Susan Fenniger owns the place.
Oh,
so,
our buddy, our pal. Loves
right.
Susan Fenniger. Okay. Awesome. Anyway, we're just going to be the ladies.
Let's just tell everybody where we're going to be.
Exactly. All you pervs out there. Okay.
My mom will thank you for putting me in harm's way.
Thanks. Sorry, Mrs. Schechner. Okay. Kids! See what you see right in here in the studio if you're watching on Current TV? This is the opening act for Sexy Liberal DC.
It is. You're right.
All y'alls. Mm-hmm. And did you hear we're getting a tour of the White House?
Wow.
I don't even know if we're supposed to say that yet.
No, I don't think you're supposed to say that.
Secret Great. Service
you
on
You ruined it for us.
Yeah. You got to pass a background check.
We don't
know
entirely
sure that's going to go.
I have some time to clean some things up.
Get Harvey Keitel to get the blood out of the car. The blood and brain matter.
All right. Sexy Liberal DC, we're all going to be there for the inauguration. January 19th, Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland, high-strung Sexy Liberal Tour Director,
yes.
Says there are some great $45 seats in the rear balcony. The Warner is one of the smaller theaters we played, about 1,800 seats. So those $45 seats have amazing views of the stage. He says there are probably only 100 orchestra seats left, rear and side. Get those now. Get it. Go. And then we have two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel. You don't even know the second
one. I don't even know.
One.
I don't know either of them.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, my God. You're going to f*** yourself. Okay. Okay, by the way.
It smells like somebody did in here.
Yeah. Can we please not bring in salmon and Brussels sprouts on the same day?
I burned the bejesus out of them. Look at them. I am the worst
Blackened
cook ever.
Blackened Brussels sprouts.
I'm excited to go spinning with you afterwards.
Oh.
Don't get in the bike behind me.
Light a match.
Okay. Wow. It's another Christmas gift. Catherine in Pittsburgh. Steph, love seeing you in New York City, Sexy Liberal. Listen every day through iHeartRadio. Yay.
Yay.
Attached for your viewing pleasure is from Sexy Liberal in New York City, Catching the Moment You Were Teabagged by Rob Reiner. I am going to have to send that along to you so we can post that.
Oh, dear.
That's really... Wow, it's a rear view.
Jeez.
That was quite exciting. Thank you,
I suppose
Rob.
It is better than being teabagged by Carol O'Connor.
Well, since he's dead.
Dead.
Oh,
what? What?
Oh. Too soon?
All right.
Too soon?
You know, this week is just the gift that keeps on giving. We have Jackie Schechner live in studio with us, and the hate mail just keeps coming from Fox News.
Oh.
Hateful hater, haters, hating, hateful, I hate you.
Do we have that, the whole song, the thing we played that... It was, my sister emailed me, she's like, it was such a cute little innocuous little song parody.
The hateful hating on the left,
right. But this is
socialist.
This is what I love, is they're proving my point exactly. I play some cute little song parody, and I get called the C word, and they hope I die. And so, and the point of the whole segment is supposed to be the left wing engages in more hate speech.
Right,
yeah.
Right wing. And then, the letters that it produces for me are just beyond, right? Oh, so was this it? This was the whole song?
Yeah.
This is the Rocky Mountain mic. Okay, here we go.
Wingnuts roasting over pity's fire. Pundits growing a big nose. Talking points being sold by big liars like Fox and Friends media hoes.
Oh, no.
Everybody knows the turkey like Sean Hannity.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Get an audience that's white.
It's true.
Yep. Tiny-brained viewers who just don't know that what he says just isn't right.
All right. Anyway, so that's
Fox viewership is almost exclusively old and white. I mean, there's no getting around that.
So, but Sean Hannity opens the segment by saying, I called him a racist.
No.
Yeah, I didn't hear the word racist in there anywhere.
No.
By the way, Mary, who sang that?
Mary in Ann Arbor.
Right. She could not have been more excited. She's like, me on Fox. Like Christmas came early for her and Rocky Mountain Mike.
Right.
Hi, Steph. Words can't describe how excited I was when I heard myself on Fox News, let alone on a lovable old Sean Hannity show. We are legend. Cookies and freedom for everybody.
Hate, hate, speech, hate, the hate. Why do liberals hate so much? Nook, 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 nook.
It's amazing that we're the big tent inclusive party.
Right.
And they accuse us of being hateful and divisive.
Jim said yesterday Sean Hannity's so thin skinned, he's nearly translucent.
Yes, it's like the Visible Man.
You know, the Visible Man model that you put together as a kid.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, this one, the subject line is sad.
Oh?
Someone has a sad.
Oh.
Someone's a sad panda because of me.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, KP. I heard a bit from her show. This went to Travis for some reason.
Yeah.
Mr. Travis, as he's called.
Mr. Travis.
Uh-huh.
Goes to Washington.
I heard a bit from her show, and what an idiot. You liberals are liars, racist, Marxist, and violent. I did some parody violence.
What?
You're some kind of ist. I'm not sure what it is, but you're an ist.
Radical Muslims are a significant threat to... By the way, where's my Christmas music for my hair? I'm very excited about this. Okay. Radical Muslims are a significant threat to America, but it pales in comparison to the progressive Marxist left. God bless America and Merry Christmas!
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, bitch!
I wish we had more progressives. We don't have a single Marxist.
Look at this
government.
One. Somebody's caps lock got stuck. Somebody spilled like rum and coke in their caps lock. But you know what? It looks like it keeps getting stuck and then unstuck again.
Marxist, Nazi, atheist, Muslims.
Look at that. It's really like, because it's not all caps, but it's enough caps.
And
I'm like,
inappropriate use of quotation marks.
Yeah,
that
looks more like moonshine and Mountain Dew, not a rum and coke.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I think you could be right.
Yeah.
Berlin! We're out of Mountain Dew, and I ain't done writing to this liberal!
Well, the original Mountain Dew was moonshine.
Well, yes.
Just named the soft drink after it.
Wow, he had a lot of thoughts. Oh, we love him. Oh, he wrote more than once because his email name is actually Complainant.
I love that.
So I think he complains a lot about a lot of stuff. Maybe this is just his complaint letter
template.
I
must complain in the strongest possible terms.
So maybe I'm not even that special. All right, Complainant writes, you are a nasty piece of work and a racist pig to boot.
Oh. Racist?
Steph, bloodsucker.
Based on bloodsucker now.
Bloodsucker.
Wow. Racist bloodsucker.
I just heard the racist song you played on your show. You extreme liberal Democrats are just what you are. Gutter rats. You're the ones who have a tiny brain and use bully
stupid
tactics.
Poopy head.
What a how woof. How is that spelled? How could you feel good about yourself, you racist pig?
Based on what exactly?
Yeah, there.
That we played this song parody.
He cited no
white. Okay.
Examples.
You cannot deny you are indeed spewing racist lies to fire up your base and get ratings.
We can certainly deny
that. Yes, we can deny it because...
Oh, he's not sticking to point. They're usually they say I have no ratings, but now I'm being accused of you being a racist pig just to get ratings.
I see.
Which is it? Do I have ratings or not? You are nothing but a ratings whore. How proud...
That's radio.
How proud...
you stood in a barrel, naked in a barrel in a shop window to get ratings.
That was a wacky 80s morning, TJ.
Well,
it was
to get ratings.
When I was Sister Sleaze. That's a whole... Stop bringing that up. The 80s... Okay, how proud your parents must be of the scumbag of a daughter they've raised. Oh, ow, soft underbelly. Okay, You are igniting the racial element of your audience. All for ratings. What a gluttonous, vacuous human being you, Stephanie Miller.
He knows the word vacuous.
Right.
I'm impressed. Did you spell it with a W?
Usually the word and vacuous?
Usually the word vacuous doesn't reach to West Virginia.
What? Chris LaVoy, you have no evidence that complainant lives in West Virginia.
I can kind of tell by...
Wow, he has a
the
lot.
The caps!
You are just jealous of your competitor's ratings and will dive headfirst into a dirty toilet to try to nab a few listeners. How pathetic. That's a little manic. Ha, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, ha, ha.
Scary.
That's how he wrote it, like 10,000 exclamation points.
Good luck swirling in your bowl of sewage, Steph. Sincerely, an American citizen, child of immigrants, taxpayer.
Sincerely.
Good person, tired of the lying racist Democratic Party. Okay. P.S. Oh, hang on. There's a hopeful note at the end, guys.
Oh, yay.
Great.
P.S. I might be a new listener if you address the following issues.
Oh, okay.
So he has not totally given up on me.
He has a list of demands.
It's a hostage crisis. Okay.
And can you send me a hat with an autograph?
Yeah.
Except, P.S. I might be a new fan if.
Do what I say, or I'll shoot.
Ratings whore. What does he want?
Oh, explain why our American friends would lie to America about Benghazi. Oh, now I lost him as a listener again. Because the president didn't lie. Oh, damn. That was so hopeful for a minute.
Oh.
That's like the email equivalent of pasting the letters from the magazine.
Yeah, exactly. A ransom letter.
Yes, that was like a ransom letter. Okay.
Now, once again, the whole basis of the racist thing is that the song, which we didn't do, by the way, said that Sean Hannity's audience is are white. And they are.
Pretty much old and white.
They are white, old, pasty, old white people.
We apologize to the pasty people in the audience.
Why would you
Dennis? Dennis trying to look for the silver lining. Steph, are you sending Sean Hannity profilers? After all, he and his listeners provided 80% of the material for yesterday's
show. That's true.
I think I will. And I will type Stephanie in the box.
All we had to do is sit back and watch our inbox flow.
He sent me a Vermont teddy bear once, remember? When we were on MSNBC.
Wasn't it a Ronald Reagan bear or something?
Cheap bastard. Yeah. I know you get these free. Is that what you get your wife?
Send him a soda stream.
Merry Christmas, honey. Why, what a good idea. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Rock. Stephanie Miller. Rock. Stephanie Miller. Rock. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We have a tasty little news treat live in studio all day with us. Jackie Shepard.
I'm learning.
You did it right.
Now listen, because for television she covers her face if she has the microphone wrong.
Right.
And in her case, that's a loss. The rest of us.
You know.
Well, we used to have the microphones in front of our face until we got the television cameras in here, so we have to talk across it.
We're just radio geeks. We don't know. Okay. All right. So Rocky Mountain Mike wants to play the game. Let's poking the fox beehive with a sharp stick again. See if we can get back on Hannity tonight.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Collect up all his loot. The Hannity Man. The Hannity Man. Oh, the Hannity Man. The Hannity Man. Cause he makes up all the scrap to make himself look good. Make himself look good.
Hannity.
Oh, Hannity. Hey. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike, you are a scamp.
He just threw that together.
He may not have time for me tonight. He's got to play more, unfairly edited union footage.
Yeah.
Did you hear the whole story?
Of the Steven Crowder?
Of course. It's like the usual Fox trip they left out. He incited the fight.
Right. He shoved the guy down.
He shoved the guy down.
It was edited video.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah,
they show, of course, the guy gets up and hits him because he
retaliated.
Shoved him.
He's defending himself against that clown.
Yeah.
Well, clown, that would imply he's funny.
Yes.
The alleged comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? There's something going on with caps locks and hate letters from Fox News.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't, what's going on? I think what did you say it was? Mountain Dew and what?
Mountain Dew and moonshine.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something is, that caps lock is sticky. Because it keeps, like, sticking, and then it comes up. All right, never mind, Lurleen, it came back up. It's fine. And then it sticks down again. This one from, it's from Complainant again. It's the second one. Oh. You people should be ashamed. That's, I'll just, you know, raise my voice when it snaps.
Yeah. Okay.
Playing racist rhetoric is deplorable. The people that spew their offensive and hypocritical racist point of view should be taken off the air. Your listeners demand an apology. No, they don't.
Really?
They thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, you are offending thousands of white people. Wake up, white people.
I'm white. I wasn't offended.
Enough is enough.
I'm white. I wasn't offended.
Is very...
T-Bone is white. He wasn't offended.
All of Sean Hannity's white audience were not offended. Well, probably they're offended.
Busted. All right. Healthcare geek Jackie Schechter.
Yes.
This is very good news. Nancy Pelosi taking a very hard line against raising the Medicare eligibility age.
Good.
Right? This is great. She took her hardest line yet, talking about the fiscal cliff. She used her clout with House Democrats, whose votes will be necessary to pass any deal to warm them off of major benefit cuts. She said, as I've said, don't even think about raising the Medicare age. We are not throwing America's seniors over the cliff to give tax cuts to the wealthiest people in America. She was sort of warning.
Why not?
Bone around the president.
It's a really bad idea on several different levels. Because not only would it be bad for seniors, 65 to 67, who have to pay their own premiums in the private market, but it would actually end up driving up the costs of the insurance market for everybody else, because you're putting people who are a little bit sicker into the insurance market. It would drive up the cost of Medicare, because that's based on a percentage of what we pay in the private insurance market. And at the same time, it's not going to do any cost saving overall for those reasons. And you're shifting the burden onto your seniors. It doesn't work financially or economically. It doesn't work socially. There's really no benefit to it.
It's a serious plan. It's serious.
No.
You people are getting serious.
And, you know, we did a poll yesterday. It was NBC Wall Street Journal poll, I think, that said that 70% of Democrats want compromise. And they're actually willing to give up the tax increase on the richest if we don't cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Like, those are more important than whether or not we raise taxes on the top 2%.
Well, I mean, that's what we've been reading all of these. In another one, Republicans losing public opinion wars and fiscal cliff talks. And those are the two things in there. Huge majorities want taxes raised on the, top 2%, but you're right. The big thing is do not touch Medicare or Social Security. So, I honestly don't know who they're fighting for. Oh, I forgot to mention that Joy Behar is coming up next.
Yes!
Yay.
She has a big Hurricane Sandy benefit airing tonight.
On Current.
Right here on the Current Television Network. We will talk to her next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't expect you to throw your giant panties on the stage, but it's Christmas. The least you can do is pay attention.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right,
so
34 minutes after the hour. Oh, well, now it's just going to get worse. The show's already out of control, and now she's going to say anything. I know she is. It's Joy Behar. Good morning, Joy Behar.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good, honey. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're here to promote the Comics with Benefits thing tonight.
I heard it was great. Our good friend John Fugelsang, of course, was in it. Tell us about it.
Well, we had this idea. Mostly the executive producer, Robin Hommel, said, you know, let's do the thing, blah, blah, blah. Call your friends. And I did. I called all my comedian friends that I've known for 30 years. They're all funny and all doing really well. And they showed up, and they were just hysterically funny. It was a great show. I mean, there's so many great, you know, Larry David came, and he never goes anywhere.
Right. I know that.
Well, he never shows up anywhere. And Daryl Hammond was there. He's a very, very talented guy. John Stewart and Stephen Colbert and Dennis Leary and Susie Essman and Dee Snider and, of course, Elliot Spitzer killed, you know, whatever.
You are fancy, Joy Behar. You know some fancy people. It was at the 92nd Street Y. It's going to air tonight on Current at 9 p.m. Eastern, right?
Right. It's a two-hour special. And I think people are going to really like it. And then, of course, you know, Stephanie, it'll air a bunch of times in December, so people can keep donating if they want to, text money, whatever it is that they can do. It's a terrific thing. You know, it's really nice to be able to be part of that.
Listen, we all know. They've re-aired our show so many times, we could be a prison documentary. It's very exciting. And you can also, by the way, you can still donate, right? Text Sandy 80108 to give. So people can
still... Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, people could just donate $10. You know, if millions of people donate $10, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this was particularly resonant because a lot of the people on the show, I would say about two-thirds of them, are from New York and New Jersey, the comedians. So, you know, they came to support the area, too.
Right. Well,
this
was
nice.
You know, and it's because, boy, you know, you're no stranger to this. I'm looking at a headline right in front of me. GOP aide asks, why don't we wait a few months to deliver Sandy disaster relief?
Wow.
I mean, if we have
what?
To count on Republicans to help. We're never going to get anything done, right?
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, there's another showdown between the White House and Congress, this one over disaster relief funds for Sandy. They basically are saying, oh, why don't we wait? Do we have to do it right now?
Yes. If,
oh, my
really?
God. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
They are just unbelievable. Until something happens to them, they have no sympathy for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget that Nancy Reagan never gave a damn about stem cell research until her husband got Alzheimer's. Now suddenly she's all for it. You know what I mean? It has to happen to them.
Well, and we're seeing that, I think, you know, in gay rights as well, until somebody has, I mean, that's what always bothered me as a gay woman, Joy. Like, Dick Cheney was happy to run and win on this gay bashing campaign they did, you know, and now has come out for marriage equality because he has a gay daughter, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. And has he really come out for marriage equality?
Oh, yeah. He has.
Yeah, he campaigned for marriage equality in Maryland, so.
Listen, he wouldn't even come out to pacemaker equality. Guy has to have his own heart attack. What can I tell you? They're just awful.
You are funny. You ought to have a show where you could say anything if you wanted to. Now,
that's one thing about Current. No one can find it, but yet they let you say whatever you want. That's what I like about them.
People are finding it, believe me.
If people could find it, it would be an incredible place.
It is an incredible place, and you're making it more incredible. Your show is great.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I mean, we do the best we can. We had T.I. the other night, the rapper, and then last night I had Jeremy Irons.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of show it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, you're getting great.
That's
guests.
Quite the cross-section.
We have no idea.
Yeah, very highbrow. We don't get such highbrow guests over here in the mornings. Joy, so what do you think about this fiscal cliff thing? Doesn't it just feel like a bad, you know, like food repeating on you? Just burping up
so
the same.
It's boring at this point. It's like, just jump already. They're going to get it done, aren't they? Because I can't do 3 months on the fiscal cliff. It's not rating. No one wants to hear about it.
Yeah.
So just change it. Have a sex scandal already. You know what I mean? Lindsey Graham and McCain caught in the hotel room. I love it. Now, that would work for me.
Right.
Yeah, I love he was on a show the other day speaking out against marriage equality with his lover, John McCain. Allegedly. Yeah, I don't know. They're awfully close.
You see that Susan Rice now has taken herself out. That was a witch hunt, boy. I hope that they suffer for it, these two jerks.
I know. Isn't that something, Joy? Is that, you know, look at this woman, how unbelievably accomplished she is, and to be denied the opportunity to serve as Secretary of State from some stupid non-scandal, right?
I know. It's a non-scandal. Well, you know, it's all that white male rage coming on, going into poor Susan Rice. She got it.
Yeah.
Somebody had to catch that, you know, and she caught it.
And it was so blatantly political. It was almost like a campaign ad for John Kerry for Secretary of State so that they can try to get that Senate
Scott
seat,
Brown
right?
Again.
They want that Senate seat, and Scott Brown will get that, right?
Yeah. I hope. Good. Maybe not. I don't know. You know, the voters just rejected him once. I would love if that blew
not
up
by
in
a lot.
Yeah, I know, but I would just love if that blew up in their face, too, as everything
that
else did.
That would be fun. I mean, it's fun to watch them go down on the Titanic, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I'm enjoying it. I hate to gloat, and I only do it on this channel.
Right.
Because I have to watch myself everywhere else, because you don't want to gloat.
Yes,
it
you're
just
so...
makes people hate you more.
Well, you're so soft-spoken on The View. I know you. You're so shy.
I have calmed down a little bit on The View, because it doesn't pay to argue with Elizabeth anymore. It doesn't pay. I'm not doing it anymore.
Just tiring, isn't it?
It's too exhausting.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I'm too busy. I have too many things to do. I have gifts to wrap. I can't.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. We've been, I think we've been doing a kind of extended gloat fest, I have to admit.
You have, of course, but you're preaching to the choir, right?
Yeah, well, we don't care.
You don't care.
No.
But, I mean, it's not just the choir who listens to the lefty radio shows, because I used to have a show on WABC where I preceded Rush Limbaugh. And
I loved it.
The audience was filled with right-wing zealot nutcases.
Yeah. I used to listen
and
to it every day.
Yeah, that was, so I know. And then they call me. It was like date rape every day with these people. You know, they call up and they go, you know, oh, I really like your position. You're very liberal. It's very important to pre-pro-gay. You liberal bitch.
Right. You would think that
like
as a
date rape. You would That's think how that... it felt. Like, oh, you know, you trust the guy. Come on, yes. Let's get it on. And then he turns on you.
You would have thought as a female radio host, you would have had a way of shutting that whole thing down. But I guess you didn't. All right. Joy Behar, you have to go because you're busy and important. Everybody watch tonight Joy Behar's Comics with Benefits tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on Current Television Network. Love you, honey.
Love you back.
Okay.
Bye,
sweetheart.
Thanks, Joy.
She goes. She's very busy and important.
Cheers.
She's got a place to go and things to do. All right. Lots to get to today's show. We didn't, for God's sakes, promo anything.
No,
Representative
we didn't.
Gwen Moore, I love her.
Yes.
Democrat of Wisconsin on the big show. And then, of course, sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who is on that very special tonight. In hour number three.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Doug in St. Charles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, this is set up for Jim.
What's that? Okay.
This is a set up for Jim.
Okay.
I'd read a book, on comparative ideologies. And when they talk about the fascist party, some of the things that stand out on it is a disbelief in science, propaganda, which they found radio is the most effective form of it. That's what Goebbels put it, because they couldn't get anybody to go to their movies or anything. So they went to radio. And it's kind of funny because there's like seven or eight different things on it. It's been a long time since I read it. But each one of them describes the Republican Party
right.
today.
Well, the original fascisti in Italy were the corporatist party. That's what they called themselves.
Correct.
I mean, that's
correct.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we have in the right wing in this country.
Oh,
now.
By the way, Greg writes about Reince Priebus, Jim.
Reinhold Reince Priebus!
Never thought we'd use that sound effect.
I know.
Yes.
That's like Ken
Starr's old sound effect. about Reince Priebus saying they want less debates next time because they're, you know, it tends to make their candidates look really
we don't
bad.
Want debates.
And also the fact that their candidates are really bad.
Because we look bad when people hear about our ideas. So
anyway, Greg says, for Jim, you know who else wanted less debates?
Hitler.
Greg, you don't need to set Jim up. He would have gotten to
yeah,
anyway. Don't worry about it. Joe in Lockport, oh, Mama's hometown. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
This call's for Jackie, though.
Oh,
hello, Jackie.
It is.
It's for you.
Jackie, coming. Phone. What's up?
What would the premium be for Medicare if each one of us paid it out of our pocket individually instead of taxing it? I'm so glad Nancy's taken it off the table. But what would it cost us?
Well, it would be much higher than what you pay now because Medicare is regulated in a way that the private insurance market isn't regulated. So it's a percentage of what the private insurance market pays. People complain that Medicare rates for doctors, for example, are too low, but it's actually that the private insurance payments are too high. The private companies have overinflated what things cost, and so that's why doctors complain that Medicare is too low. Medicare is actually spot on. So you'd end up paying significantly out of pocket because people tend to be older and have more ailments, obviously, once
right.
they get into their...
But what I was thinking is the fact that they made Part D non-competitive, they have to pay whatever the pharmacy is charging. Has anybody done a study to find out what the premium would be if it matches up with how high the premiums are in the private market?
I don't know if there is, you know, there's an organization called MedicareRights.org, which does a lot of work on this. The Kaiser Family Foundation
right.
also has some really good resources. I don't know if there's studies available, but there probably is. I would guess that they've done some comparison work. I'd have to take a look and see.
And what was that?
I was just thinking that it would be a great way to offer a quote unquote people could buy into Medicare instead of buying into private insurance.
I mean, that's to Ellen Grayson's idea.
Oh, you mean like extending Medicare for all?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it would be tremendously less expensive because we could negotiate bulk rates.
Right.
And that's why the Republicans will never go for that.
Right.
Because that would make sense.
You're talking about like single payer, which would be...
It would help people.
It would help people.
Socialism.
Yeah. No, it would bring down costs overall, actually. Medicare is much more efficient than private insurance because it doesn't have shareholders.
Who wants that? Okay. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back. Ooh, that was a delightful little Jackie's Healthcare Corner.
Yay!
Spontaneous Healthcare Corner.
Right in the middle of the show. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Kick it, check it, whatever.
No, you said check it.
I
said
kick it.
No,
kick
it's kick it. It's never been check it.
Whatever. Peace out to y'all mamas.
Chuck it. What? Did you really say peace out to y'all's mamas?
Oh, wow.
Word.
Oh, God.
50
just
minutes after the hour.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it. Stop it.
This is hard. You want to try this? Get in the
ring. Stop it.
Oh, you are in the ring. Never mind.
This is hard. You want to try it?
All right.
Get in the ring.
Okay.
This is hard.
Okay. Particularly the losing in a landslide thing.
Yeah.
That was hard. Despite all the lies. By the way, we mentioned yesterday Mitt Romney won Lie of the Year from PolitiFact.
Yay. That's right.
For the Romney Jeep moving to China thing.
What has this world come to that we have the lie of the year? All right, who wins for lie of the year? What lie is the victor?
It's the claim by the Romney campaign that Jeep was going to move its production to China at the cost of American jobs.
Lie. The 2012 lie of the year.
Just what the truth the is.
AKA Big Fat Lies.
It can't speak anymore.
Keep on lying.
The most outlandish,
incorrect,
phony, untrue statement of the entire year in politics.
Yay! Rocky Mountain Mike! Jackie Shepner, newswoman extraordinaire.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
She's writing a newscast over here.
I'm done.
All right.
I don't care. I don't care.
I'm ahead of Sked.
She's in here so I can poke her with a sharp stick.
Did you say ahead of Sked?
She needs time to make up the news.
I'm picking up on the totes adorbs
theme. That is totes adorbs.
She's the one who decided to come in so I can bother her all morning, Jackie. Jackie. Okay.
Doink.
A little delayed audio there.
Yeah.
No, but this is a great piece. You know, we had on Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein.
Yep.
They're centrists. They've been considered for years bipartisan, but they wrote a great piece and a great book on this is what they called it, how the mainstream media bungled the single biggest story of the 2012 campaign. But it's about this false equivalence that they're afraid to be called partisan, so they wouldn't say that's a lie. That is just a lie. They tried to make it seem like, oh, well, both sides do it, and, you know.
They use words like misinformation or questionable or, I mean, it's, why can't you say lie?
Right.
It's quicker, it's easier, it's zippier, and it's true.
Right. But they were saying even fact checkers like PolitiFact, they said that's when it's gotten really sad. They feel the need to try and, like, find something from the other side to kind of go, oh, it's.
Well, both sides do it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, they're writing in the, let's see, according to the Thomas Mann and Norman Ornstein, we had both of them on, campaign coverage in 2012 was particularly calamitous failure, almost entirely missing the single biggest story of the race, namely the radical right wing off the rails lurch to the Republican Party, both in terms of its agenda and its relationship to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that all the polls were showing that Obama was going to win, it was just that they kind of, oh, it's a close race, and oh, both sides are, you know, playing dirty. It's like,
hotter
no,
than
no,
Times
no.
Square Rolex.
Right.
It's nice that it backfired, at least in Ohio, with the Jeep ads. I mean, that at least was nice, that the public turned around and said, we don't buy it.
Well, public's not stupid.
Right. And thank God there is a line that you, which you cannot cross. The public goes, wait a minute, we know that's not, even, you know, Paul Ryan, when he said, oh, you know, this plant in Janesville, the people in, that's why Obama won Janesville.
Yeah. Right.
Because they know that it closed under George Bush and not Obama. It's Anyway.
But it was very gratifying to see Karl Rove thrown off the balcony. Oh, that was a Saturday Night Live sketch.
No, that was just a sketch. Anyway, they write, it exposed how fabulous and liars, like Marcus Bachman, can exploit the elite media's fear of being seen as taking sides. This is the, you know, we'll have to leave it there.
We'll have to leave it there.
Right. The mainstream, Jackie's old buddy, Wolf.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to leave it there before the liberal gets a chance to refute that big, stinky lie.
But, Wolf, but we'll have to leave it there.
That's
I haven't said anything. You have to leave it there!
Although Paul Begala was always good about not letting Wolf shut him down.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mainstream press really has such a difficult time, Mann says, trying to cope with asymmetry between the two parties' agendas and connections to facts and truth. I can't recall a campaign I've seen more lying going on, and it wasn't symmetric. I mean, I don't even know what the percentage would be, but almost everything Mitt Romney, almost every ad had a untruth in it. Lies from Republicans generally and standard bearer Mitt Romney in particular weren't limited to the occasional TV ads either. The party's most central campaign principles that federal spending doesn't create jobs, that reducing taxes on the rich could create jobs and lower the deficit, willfully disregarded the truth, which is what the CBO just said. They just reissued. Remember the Republicans complained about that report?
Mm-hmm.
They just reissued it, and it says the same thing. This does not lead to growth. Okay, blah, blah, blah. It was the great unreported big story of American politics, Ornstein said of this last election cycle. They say it's hard to exaggerate just how popular Mann and Ornstein were with the press before they started talking about this, and now they're talking about they don't get invited anywhere now.
Yeah.
Now they're virtual pariahs. He said, it's awkward. I can't be a source in a news story or Wall Street Journal or the Times or the Post because people think I've made the case for Democrats, and therefore I have to be balanced now with a Republican.
Oh, God.
You know, and these guys were considered, I think one of them was, wasn't one a Republican?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, both see the rise of Tea Party influence on the GOP as a major turning point for Mann. The moment of reckoning came in the summer of 2011. What flipped me was the debt ceiling hostage taking, Mann said. It was clear then the Republicans would do or say anything to hurt Obama, even if it was overtly bad for the country and false to core Republican values. And that's what's happening again.
Yeah. They're still doing it. That's
right. That's why they're standing outside of Ione Skye's room with a
Right. That's my point. Okay.
Lying. It's a sport of the future.
Okay. Jorg in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jorg.
Is it Jorg?
Hello.
Yeah, Jorg.
Jorg.
Jorg. Jorg. Okay. You sound like you could be a Romney kid. Hello, Jorg.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I was just calling because it was just about 2 months ago that I first saw the Stephanie Miller Show on Current, and I was like, this exists? This is amazing.
What is
like,
this elusive creature?
Yes, and I wanted to tell you, I guess I'm outing myself by calling, but, I'm in the entertainment industry, and I actually, on Facebook and all the my sites that I go to, I don't usually... talk overtly about like how liberal I am, and I'm extremely liberal. I just wanted to know. I mean, how your life is like, because I also think that being a liberal, you almost don't want to pigeonhole yourself as a liberal because which is different than a Republican or right wing,
mm-hmm.
because they at least they have the religion and all that kind of stuff where they can hold on to like that is they do have a doctrine. So if it goes past that, then it's wrong. But for us, it's like each situation is.
Well, it's too late for me. I have a big sign behind me that says talking liberally. So I'm stuck in this little pigeonhole.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're searching for truth, like you said, not lies. So it's like, obviously, there's a truth and a lie, but it's like with...
Well, that's what I mean. It's not... That's what it's become. It's not conservative or liberal anymore.
Right.
There's one truth that's either true or not, that Chrysler's moving their Jeep factory to China, and they're not. So, there. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, Representative Gwen Moore coming up this hour from the great state of Wisconsin to update us on the fiscal cliff. Clavin, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email all there. Executive producer Chris LaBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, who's somewhere now.
He's
doing
not
something.
Here.
Not here. No. But it's just Christmas has come early because not only is Bucky my Christmas beaver here, but Jackie Scheffner is live in studio with us all day.
Am I allowed to pet your
beaver? Well, I'm glad you waited till Jim got back to say that. Now we're going to have trouble all morning.
Does Jim have dibs on your beaver?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Jackie Schechner.
Oh, my
God. Look at her. When you bust her out of the news center, she just becomes a little, just like dock worker. All right. Because Dave in Massachusetts with some thoughts on my beaver.
Okay.
Hey, Steph, where is your beaver during this right-wing attack? I understand beavers are able to shut down things like that.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. Okay. I just had it stuffed.
All right. This is Bucky. Okay. I love Bucky. Okay. Just, all right. Oh, speaking of Christmas coming early, I have more hate mail from the King Hannity
and
show.
And it keeps coming.
Yes, the kids keep coming. Oh, actually, this one, just a congratulations. Oh, and a wow subject line. A lot of people sent me emails with wow, because it usually never ends well for me. I'm hopeful because I think it's going to be like, wow,
your show is great.
Great. You're wow. But
no. Never.
So a lot of people just to give me positive wow emails. Right. Congratulations on the Hannity honors. I always thought it was funny the party of personal responsibility decided they were victims. Listening to Hannity call himself a victim based on the song parody was hilarious. basically, Sean has decided anyone that accuses him of something are guilty of the same thing. This is known as the dreaded I know you are, but what am I strategy.
Projection.
Shown to be highly effective in grade school and, of course, on Pee-wee's Playhouse. Mark in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm trying to use the phone.
Yes, he opened the segment with a lie by saying I called him a racist, which I've never called him a racist. Okay. Yeah. This is a little song parody. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, here's some more. Guy.
Oh, okay.
A guy named Guy. It's a guy named Guy. Hi, Steph.
Or it could be Guy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Guy Lafleur.
Guy. Oh, that'd be... No, it's not. He has a last name. It's not Lafleur. I fumbled across your show on the current... That's never good.
No.
It's like that guy in Alabama that sat on his remote.
Yeah, and it magically changed the current.
Right.
Lurleen, what's this?
What's
that liberal whore doing on my TV?
I thought I was trying to get to NASCAR. I thought it was Danica Patrick. And then started talking liberal. Okay. All right. I don't get the liberal.
You do kind of look like Danica Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
Danica. He was hopeful for a minute, and then I started talking.
If Danica Patrick were 50.
You bastard person. Oh. I hate you and your ass face.
She should look that good when she steps in.
Thank you, BFF.
I just hate you and I hate your ass face.
I'm gonna throw my beaver at you. I really am.
Yeah,
that could be a worse punishment for you.
I didn't realize it was detachable.
Seriously.
Okay, I don't get the liberal agenda. You are a cotton-headed ninny muffin.
That's
new. Wow, they are something
mini
with the
muffin.
Ripe hosts.
An insult from 1846.
I have to say.
I do declare.
I have to say. Here, but wait, it gets hopeful again. I have to say, aside from all that, you are way more attractive than I assumed you would be from hearing you on the radio.
Oh, well.
So I'm a cotton-headed ninny muffin that he'd like to tap. Have a very merry whatever you believe in.
Christmas.
P.S. I promise I won't say anything about your hair.
What? Oh, no!
What? Oh, no, you didn't, Guy. I learned on MSNBC such an action may get you fired. Oh, because of the nappy-headed hoe thing?
Oh.
And I believe you have a crush on Hannity. Yeah, of course I do.
Hannity has a crush on you, too.
Yes, he wants to kiss me and bite me.
Only difference is, he's married, you're not.
Oh, shut up.
What?
I know I'm old and single. What else you got this morning? What? I'm throwing my beaver at you.
You got beaver on
it. It touched you.
I touched beaver.
Would you like to touch my bags of sand?
No. Okay. Gross.
All right. Oh, okay. We're done with that for now. Okay. We're done with my Hannity hate. No, although it keeps rolling in. Brad, right, Steph, while trying to explain the Fun Wow commercial to my partner, this is the yes.
Fun Wow!
Yes. I found that it's actually a thing. Urban Dictionary provides this definition, a sarcastic expression used to describe something that is not fun or unappealing. The expression fun wow was used in the TV and radio advertisements in the late 70s and 80s by a small amusement park in Grand Island, New York.
Yep.
That was inferior to many others of its time.
Right.
People in the Western New York area began using the expression sarcastically to describe anything that wasn't fun. Yes, Brad. That's it, Brad in St. Louis. That's my whole high school. That was like every phone call of my friends.
Secaucus,
you
wanna fun,
go,
wow.
You want to go do blah? Oh, fun.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
thinking that grandiose.
That's
music
why. That's
was,
where you came by your sarcasm. If you grew up in Western New York, from that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I got mine from.
You know that music is baton twirling competition music.
Absolutely.
Jackie Shackers bringing up her major updates.
I need to find something that can substitute as a baton.
They used to have a competition called
Use a highlighter.
Strut.
Plastic knife.
No, they used to have a competition called Strut, where you would march
Which
in a
with?
Square. In a, anyway,
come on, Jackie, do it. Do it. Do it.
Do it. That's what it was.
Use the highlighter.
It's that music. That's what you do.
If you really loved us, you would do a little baton at the D.C. Sexy Liberal.
Oh, no, not on stage.
D.C. Sexy Liberal.
Not on stage.
Tassels. Come on. A little sugar for me and Uncle Jim.
I have this much pride left. That's where I'm sticking with the little bit I have left. But that's that music. That's why I have flashbacks
Pride.
Every time you play.
Meanwhile, I'm shopping for red, white, and blue motorized nipple tassels. She wants to maintain some sort of dignity.
I bet you can find them on Etsy.
John writes, Steph, I owe you an apology. Well, who doesn't, John? Dear Stephanie, I owe you an apology. A few months back, I emailed you and stated that you cannot chair dance. I was wrong. It's not that you can't dance. It's just that your formative social dance years were the 80s. The worst dance music decade in the history of music. So when the rest of us hear Pink's Raise Your Glass, you hear Men Without Hats safety dance in your head. I think your disorder may be covered by Obamacare. Oh, John. That's right.
We can dance if we want to. Hey, long hands behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
That's what's wrong with Pink. No midgets.
Yeah. No dancing midgets in a meadow.
That's the problem. Why, look at the headline. Stalemate. Fiscal cliff stalemate. Who could have seen that coming?
It's Pyongyang reporting on the fiscal cliff has stalemate. Oh, stop it.
Oh, Jim Ward. Really?
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, how about this? How about this? Boner hints at another debt limit fight next year. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, great.
Passed up two opportunities yesterday to rule out bringing up a vote on the legislation to extend middle-class tax cuts, allowing the Bush tax cuts for top earners to expire, but he suggested that the year ends without a broader agreement between himself and President Obama. He'll use the debt limit to provoke a new round of budget negotiations. He'll take it hostage again. He said the debt limit ought to be used to bring fiscal sanity to Washington, D.C.
Computer says no.
No. See, taking the whole faith and credit.
My whole goal is to make President Obama flabbergasted.
He's doing a good job. You know what is flabbergasting?
What?
Is his record. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said John Boehner's record of predicting how the economy would be affected by certain policies is abysmal. He said in 1993, John Boehner got up and said, if we pass the Clinton budget plan, we'll lose jobs, the economy will shrink, inflation will go up. After 1993, after that budget plan passed, we saw record economic growth.
Yep.
In 2001, he fiercely advocated for the massive tax cuts that President Bush insisted on. Again in 2003, that went disproportionately to the wealthy, promising they would lead to economic growth and a middle class that was better.
How'd that work out for you?
The president's carny.
In case of emergency, the House should break the glass. The House Speaker ought to allow the Republicans to vote on extending tax cuts for 98% of the American people. That would deal with a chunk of the so-called fiscal cliff.
The Boehner, once again, flabbergasted.
It's this issue. Spending.
No, spending. Spending. That's the problem. Flabbergasted by the spending.
It's despicable, isn't it, the spending?
Despicable.
You're despicable.
Republicans losing public opinion wars and fiscal cliff talks. Jackie Schechter and I talking about that earlier, polling. Negotiations expected to continue on the fiscal cliff with Republicans at a growing public opinion disadvantage and approval raising for President Obama rising to levels not seen since the killing of bin Laden. Polling shows strong support for President Obama's position. Wall Street Journal, NBC News, that's new. Three-quarters, Jim, that's almost 75%.
Nearly. Very close to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Of Americans say they would accept raising taxes on the wealthy to avoid the cliff. Among Republicans, 61% say they would accept tax increases on high earners. ABC News, Washington Post poll indicated nearly half of Americans approve of the president's handling of the negotiations versus a quarter who approve of the Boehner. At the same time, Obama's public opinion rating, 54% in the polling average, above the level where it was when bin Laden was killed. Republicans in a bad negotiating position, Kent Conrad said, noting the Democratic-controlled Senate has already passed a bill preserving tax cuts for the middle class, leaving the Republican-controlled House standing in the way. And so Republicans are really in an awkward position.
We're using out of control spending. It's too many old people. Put it on the ice floe if you can find one. Just send them off.
Yes, Chris.
I have an update.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
The term cotton hen and ninny muffin is from the Will Ferrell movie Elf.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. So not from 1860.
No. All right. So there you go.
Good to know. Good to know. Thank you. All right. Okay. Today's show is just weird. Okay. 17.
What do you mean today's show, Kimasabi?
I blame Jackie. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't be fancy, just get dancy. Why so serious?
Settle. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hi, Jackie Schechner. Look at my beaver.
Good morning.
Hello.
You know I came in just to see your beaver.
Bucky the Christmas beaver. Everybody loves him. He's beloved.
I would not turn down the opportunity. Turn down English, second language.
Right.
I would not turn down the opportunity to see Steph's beaver. In
no. And who would? Okay.
Kelby loves to focus on your beaver.
Hmm. Really? Oh, in the current control room.
Yes.
By the way, we miss Kelby and Suzanne's birthday. Happy birthday! It's their birthday this week.
I didn't. I wished them happy birthday.
Well, you didn't tell me. I wished Shelby a happy birthday. I didn't know there were different people. Dory in Massachusetts. Hi, Dory.
Good morning, Mama, and my beloved Mookies and Jackie.
Yes. Good morning.
Who is also a Mookette.
Yes, Mookette. Well, today is my birthday, and since I have the bye all over me, I would like to ask Squeezy to wish me a happy birthday.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What are you wearing? I bet you're in your birthday suit. Huh?
Happy birthday. God. Don't encourage him. Oh, for God's sakes. He's always squeezed. You don't have to encourage him. Okay. What's going on with Janet in Georgia? Hi, Janet. Welcome.
Hi, Steph and Mook.
Hi.
I'm calling from a red state, and I wanted to ask the healthcare geek what is going to happen now that our Republican governor has turned down the expansion of Medicaid.
Oh, the Medicaid expansion. Well, the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government couldn't require states to expand Medicaid. So unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people who fall below the poverty level, actually below 133% of the poverty level in your state, who would have access to health care, who now probably won't have that access. I don't know what the contingency plans are for that, and I don't know statewide what they're going to do. But the reason why it's such a good idea for states to take up that opportunity is the federal government said if you expand Medicaid, we'll pick up the tab 100% for the first 3 years and 90% for every year after that.
Right.
So it's actually not going to cost the states anything to expand Medicaid and to cover people who fall below 133% of the poverty line. And it's unfortunate that the Supreme Court ruled that the states couldn't be required to do it because it's the way that we're going to protect people who won't reach the threshold
Janet,
for the exchanges.
I don't know if the Supreme Court takes into account how much the Republicans will do just to spite the president, even if it's bad for their own residents, right?
That's exactly why this is being done.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
it's just like there isn't
wanting to spite President Obama.
I mean, that's the thing in these, you were saying, these fiscal cliff negotiations, it's presuming that they care what happens to the country, you know, other than their own power.
Well, that's what's so unfortunate is you're talking about policy that would really help people's lives, and you're talking about giving people access to some health care services they couldn't otherwise afford.
Well, and it's completely counterintuitive. These are the people that are screaming, smaller government, and they're not doing these exchanges, so the government's going to come run them. It's just, it makes no sense.
And they're going to take credit for them when they're successful.
Right.
There's
the
kicker.
Okay, can I need my love music, because this is a love letter to my listeners.
Oh, okay.
Who am I love? How much do we love our listeners? We're such a weird little island of misfit toys. Little, I don't know, dysfunctional little loving family. Rocky Mountain, and I miss this. I also miss Rocky Mountain Mike's birthday last Saturday. I didn't know that, but Susan, one of our listeners, knew. Staff, Rocky Mountain's Mike's birthday was last Saturday because he's given us so much joy over the past year, including making Hannity the other night.
Yeah.
I thought I would try to return the favor. I wrote a song parody. Some of our listeners wrote a song parody for our parody guy.
Mm-hmm.
But needed help downloading the karaoke, then getting someone to sing it. My friend Tom in Redmond put down the karaoke and edited. My friend Dean in New Jersey found a moment to record it. So here's a little... We can't play the whole thing, but here's a little part of it. Here you go, Mike. Not bad.
Yeah.
He was born in the winter of his 50-something year. Moving out to a place he'd never lived before. He left Raleigh G behind him for the aspirin trees he loves. You might say he writes his songs for old Al Gore. When he first came to the mountains, he already had a rep for those parodies he wrote for Steffi's show. And he did not disappoint. He continued to amuse. How he does it, we don't really know.
No, we don't.
No.
No.
But it's happy birthday, Rocky Mountain. It's your wit and your wisdom we really like. Hello, Skeeter. Goodbye, Min. You've immortalized that twist.
Rock.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky Mountain Mike. Sexy
little. Aw, thanks, kids. How cute are our listeners? Cutest thing.
I remember when Rocky Mountain Mike first moved to the Rocky Mountains, he didn't have internet yet, so he sat in the parking lot of like a Comfort Inn and used their free Wi-Fi to send us his bits.
And this week he made it onto Hannity on Fox News.
He did.
Just a small town boy made good.
Yeah.
All right. Happy birthday, Mike. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Gwen Moore to update us on the fiscal cliff saving as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I think I figured out why you're so cranky. Christmas is 4 days away and you don't even have a tree.
Wham.
What?
It is. I have no one to put a tree up with. Okay, 34 minutes
that
after the hour.
That was the saddest
back.
Thing I've ever heard.
I'm back. I'm the little match girl. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, I'm, listen, I've got the fiscal cliff to entertain me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, fiscal cliff Clavin.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So,
it's no law that says hot women can't date postal employees. It just works out that way.
By the way, when asked, when John Boehner was asked if he would consider isolating the middle class tax cuts if the country went over the cliff, he said ifs and ands and buts are only candy and nuts.
What?
Ifs and ands and buts are candy and nuts. Flabbergasting.
That is helpful. All right. Representative Gwen Moore joins us from the great state of Wisconsin. Good morning, Representative.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good. I see you all over the TV, and you are so terrific. I'm so thrilled to have you on.
Oh, I am so glad to be with you again.
Oh, well, thank you. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. It just doesn't seem like there's any progress being made. Are you hearing any different?
No, I'm not. I think there is some really wide ideological kinds of differences. You know, everybody, Stephanie, knows that we've got to deal with some debt reduction, but... The real sticking point is whether or not we're going to throw the country into an austerity cliff, and really make the middle class and poor people bear the burden of deficit reduction, or whether or not we're going to ask people who are wealthier to sort of pick up some of the burden of the 10-year hiatus that they've had in making a real contribution. And I think that that is a really wide, wide gulf.
Well, Representative Moore, you know, we've just, you've been looking at the same polls we are. I mean, and it seems like they're only getting worse for Republicans. I mean, the one I just saw is literally 75% of Americans want the wealthy to pay their fair share to, you know, to avoid this cliff. They do not want Social Security or Medicare touched. Where are we going with this? I mean, and by the way, the CBO just put out this report again, right, backing us up. I mean, saying there is no link between higher taxes on the affluent and economic growth.
Exactly.
I mean, who are they fighting for at this point?
Well, I can tell you that the very rich and powerful have sent out various threats to the GOP, you know, that if you don't do our bidding, we're not going to fund your campaigns, that we want, you know, government spending to yield to our corporatist interests. And, you know, you take, for example, this demand from Speaker Boehner that we do $800 billion in cuts in the social safety net. I mean, that's coming straight from corporate America. I mean, they want to change the Social Security, cut $200 billion out of that. They want to cut $600 billion out of Medicare by raising the Medicare eligibility age to 67. This is what they campaigned on, Romney and Paul Ryan, and they want to win by negotiation fiat. You know, they don't care that this is unpopular
right.
with the public. You know, their masters have said that this is the demand that we want to make, because our counterproposal, Stephanie, is that, sure, we would love to change Medicare. We've got to get some savings out of that program. But what we want to do is, for example, negotiate drug costs with the drug companies. Now, that would give us at least $400 billion over 10 years. So we want to take it away from the very wealthy pharmaceutical companies,
right.
And they are saying, no, you got to get this out of Social Security and out of benefits. So that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking, like I say, this is not even just polling. You know, as we know, the CBO is not, it's nonpartisan. You remember this, right? The Republicans screamed about this report, and so they redid it, and it reached the same conclusion, right? It said, they said, in an analysis of tax rates and growth over the past 65 years, it finds, quote, the reduction in top tax rates has had little association with saving, investment, or productivity growth. And, you know, your colleague, Chris Van Hollen, said, this puts a stake in the heart of the Republican argument that small increases in marginal tax rates for wealthy individuals somehow curbs economic growth.
Well, Stephanie, this whole notion of the job creators, we can't hurt the job creators by taking money. I mean, the point of it is they're not hiring because of these taxes. Point is that you get every single penny that you spend on payroll is deductible. Every single penny that you spend on renting space, leasing space, buying space is deductible from your income, no matter how you're filing. So that's ludicrous that by somehow rewarding those income above $250,000, you know, somehow creates jobs. We know who creates jobs. It's those struggling, brand new entrepreneurs who are bringing new people on. And the president has provided 18 different tax cuts for small businesses. You know, we need to target help to small businesses more accurately instead of this fantasy, as you might characterize it, that somehow if we just provide tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, that this magically translates into helping small businesses.
Yep.
It does not.
Yep. By the way, you have no idea how much the mocking tone of your voice is appreciated on this show.
Absolutely.
The very same tone we frequently use. Representative, before you go, I wanted to get your take. We've been also talking this morning about Susan Rice withdrawing, and just wanted to get your take. I just thought it's disgraceful that this accomplished woman became a political target of the Republicans for no good reason, and now has lost the opportunity to serve as Secretary of State.
Oh, Stephanie, there's so much to be said about that. You know, when you talk about raw politics, this is it. You know, I think they think that they have a shot at that Senate seat if John Kerry were appointed.
Pure politics.
That's right. Because
so
of
someone's
course,
career has to be sacrificed for pure partisan politics. I mean, it really is a sad day, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you know, Republicans do much better in special elections. Money goes a lot further. The coalition that, of course, took President Obama and Elizabeth Warren, quite frankly, to the top may not turn out in a special election. And they're banking on, you know, as close as it was, it wasn't real close, but it was much closer than Romney and Obama in Massachusetts.
Right, and we learned that in this last election. That's what they count on is less turnout, trying to suppress the vote. I mean, that's the only way they obviously think they can win at this point.
That's right. And so the thing of it is that we need to really hone in. We need to hone in on educating the voters in Massachusetts, all hands on deck for this special election, if in fact he does appoint John Kerry. In the short run they've won. In the long run, you know, it's incumbent upon us to make sure that they realize that they are tone deaf. They still haven't heard the message. And the message essentially is that, hey, you're kicking around another woman. This war on women continues. You're thrown out for no reason. War on people of color. This is the coalition that will keep you out of power from now on.
Yep.
And once again, here's a woman who did absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And you know, you pull together this minority voice. I mean, poor McCain. I used to respect him, Stephanie.
I know. No,
I used to respect him. War hero, but I think that this is a very short-term victory for them.
Yep, I hope so. Representative Gwen Moore, you are a pleasure. Thanks so much for taking time for us in the middle of what must just be a delightful bunch of days in the Congress.
Well, we're hurrying up doing that.
All right. We'll check in with you again. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, she's awesome. I love her.
She's awesome. Yeah, Susan Rice yesterday.
I withdrew my name because I think it's the right thing for the country. And I think it's the right thing for the president. And putting those things together, that makes it the right thing for me and my family.
However, if Scott Brown gets his Senate seat back, then this whole thing will have been a catastrophe.
Jim.
Oh, we love John Kerry. John Kerry. Oh, he'd be great.
He's awesome.
John Kerry. Love John Kerry. John Kerry. John Kerry.
Yes. We never said anything bad about him when he ran for president. We've always loved John Kerry.
It's kind of like when President Obama took Janet Napolitano out of Arizona and saddled them with Jan Brewer.
Bone finger.
Who wrote somewhere on Capitol Hill, Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Kelly Ayotte must be smiling now that U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice has withdrawn her name from consideration for the plum post of Secretary of State. Their ignoble hounding of Rice is another sorry episode of the politics of personal destruction in Washington. The senators belittled her experience, questioned her competence, and wondered about her temperament for a job she was only rumored to be considered for. Who said that?
John McCain.
No, that was a bad...
Real bad.
Jonathan Capehart in the Washington Post.
No, I got the name
who said
right.
McCain and Graham issued statements of their own saying they respected Rice's decision and wishing her well, but what they and I have succeeded in doing is stopping an able public servant from possibly advancing. They politicized a position that is supposed to be above politics, petty and otherwise. Who said that?
The Cape Crusader.
Oh, same guy, Washington Post. Susan Rice,
I didn't want to see a confirmation process that was very prolonged, very politicized, very distracting, and very disruptive, because there are so many things we need to get done as a country.
Yeah, imagine that, putting the country first instead of your own personal power. John Boner. Okay, Susan Rice.
Flabbergasted.
I've all my life been a public servant. I'm not a political person. At my foundation. I just want to, as I've had in academia and think tanks and two terms, two administrations of this government, tried to do the right thing, and that's what I'm going to continue doing.
Oh, academia, think tanks. You think she's so smart. Flabbergasted.
But did she work in a tavern?
She didn't work in a tavern.
No, she doesn't have the right experience because she didn't work in a tavern. One option being discussed is that he could appoint her a national security advisor if the current Tom Donilon leaves. The president said, while I deeply regret the unfair and misleading attacks on Susan Rice in recent weeks, her decision demonstrates the strength of her character and admirable commitment to rise above the politics of the moment to put our national interests first. To which we say, by the by, so, yeah, obviously I think it's going to be John Kerry at State, but you were saying, Jackie, Chuck Hagel is being, is a rumor for Secretary of Defense.
Yep.
You mean you steal my news even when I'm in the room?
Oh, my God.
Everybody forget that I just said Chuck Hagel's being rumored.
Thing. I was going to do a whole thing.
Forget it for 15 minutes.
And then we'll do it again.
Yeah.
You're getting sleepy.
Although we have audience turnover, so it'll be new to a lot of them.
That's entirely new people in 15 minutes. These people will be
it's
long
new to
gone.
You.
It's okay. My bad. I should have warned you.
All right.
She's over here working.
No, Hagel thing.
He's one of those reasonable Republicans that used to inhabit the Republican Party.
No, we can
party.
Talk about that part. Okay. I was saying earlier, we were agreeing that he's of the ilk of a McCain back when McCain
back in
92. Was
sane.
Yes.
And McCain was sane.
He just endorsed Democrat Bob Kerry for the, in November, and he opposed the decision to invade Iraq and the surge. So what can be so bad about him? I say, bully.
No, he's a good guy.
Yeah. All right.
One of the
Which is why there's no room for him in the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah.
All right. It's 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
We can dance in a field with a midget wearing medieval clothes.
Okay.
What? Little person.
What? It is little person. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, political strategist extraordinaire, political director of ProgressiveVoices.com, David Bender with some breaking news from Massachusetts. Hello, David Bender.
Hello, Stephanie Miller. I've seen you dance in a chair, and you can't even dance the safety dance, okay? So let's just be honest about that. It doesn't matter what the song is.
It's not safe for anybody when I dance. All right, go ahead.
Not safe. But it is a lot safer for the people of Massachusetts. I heard you talking about speculation, and obviously, when Moore's right, is a special election works better for Republicans. Here's what they don't get. They don't get that, frankly, the Senator Folt should not give up whatever his new day job is. I'm sure it's like, working on his abs.
Yeah.
But the truth is that he's got $400,000 in the bank. Ed Markey, Congressman Ed Markey, who is great, one of the great members of construction, he's a wonderful guy, has 3.5.
Somebody's,
and Ed Markey
somebody's calling you to tell you you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, by the way. You keep cutting out. Anyway, Ed Markey has more money as well. What's that?
How about that? Am I on the Stephanie Miller Show now?
Yes, you are. All right. So Ed Markey has more money, what you're saying, not to worry.
He has five times as much money. And here's the other thing to think about. It's going to be an appointment, a short-term appointment, and then they have the special election. Remember how this works. And there's a guy named, heard of him, Barney Frank?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Who could be an interim appointment to hold.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And then when the special election happens, if Ed Markey decides not to run, there's another guy in Massachusetts who could kick Scott Brown's ass.
Who's that?
His name is Deval Patrick.
Bam! Booyah!
He's termed out.
And all right.
He's extremely popular because, unlike Mitt Romney, he did a good job as governor of Massachusetts.
And you know what? Any of those people are someone that could get it done. And that's today brought to you by Grainger with over 900,000 products for the ones who get it done. That was good, right?
Wow.
Thank you, David Bender.
Happy to cheer. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Happy
all right,
holidays.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Kids? Yeah.
Now you ended too soon.
Yep, okay. Newt Gingrich on Hannity talking about Susan Rice.
The fact is, in the case of
Ambassador Rice.
Correct.
She is the person who has a grievance with the president.
Correct.
She was sent out by the president to say things that were false.
Correct.
She was used for five shows in one Sunday to tell the American people something that was not true.
Correct.
And I think if she has a complaint with anybody, it ought to be with President Obama, who sent her out there using her politically, even though she was the UN ambassador.
Are you kidding me? Really? Like, they just continue to misconstrue the story.
Right.
It was what the intelligence community thought at the time. Okay, Stuart Barney.
The right to work is now enshrined in Michigan.
Yeah.
The right not to be forced to pay union dues is enshrined in Michigan and 23 other states. I think that is a flat-out good thing.
Yes, unless, of course, you're a worker in Michigan, in which case it's not such a good thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for your thoughts.
But he thinks Pearl Harbor was a good thing, so...
We have no evidence here at the Stephanie Miller Show that Stuart Barney thinks Pearl Harbor is a good thing. Okay, Ann Coulter on Hannity.
Michigan has become a state like Cuba. All the people who want to work have left the state. Not all of them, there are a few left behind. Unfortunately, these are people, this mob cannot learn. They would put their hand on a burning fire over and over again. They haven't noticed that by supporting these unions, they have lost the car companies. They have lost jobs.
What?
The car companies were saved, and so were millions of jobs. What? By the way, another Hannity letter for me. Stephen writes, Steph's racial outreach carried across a ballroom and smooched with a black man. I bet Sean Hannity can't make that claim. I'm just saying.
As far as we know.
Right.
Well,
we don't know.
We don't know what he's into.
Okay. Eric Bowling on the Five.
Organized labor is on the brink of collapse, and the pressure's getting to them. What was once a membership of hardworking men and women, big labor has degenerated into a band of anarchist thugs. Peaceful protests have given way to mob violence. Vocal dissent has turned into revenge, property destruction, and violent assault.
You're talking about the alleged comedian
who
pushed the guy in the ground and the guy retaliated?
Yes, the video, by the way, has gone viral, even as his story about the circumstances has started to unravel, as we talked about earlier. A police spokesman there said, I saw Mr. Crowder's interview on Sean Hannity. He wants to have an MMA sanctioned fight with this individual. He told Hannity if the suspect doesn't come forward for the MMA fight, he'd press charges. He said, you can't leverage the law for personal gain. Either you're a victim or you're not. Well, according to the actual tape, he's not a victim.
Right.
He started it.
Yeah. Crowder pushed the guy. The guy retaliated.
Yeah.
He pushed the guy down onto the ground. The guy got up. And then, of course, they just start the video after he punches him.
All right. If he wants an MMA fight, he'll go up against a real MMA fighter.
How much I could take
Crowder, him on? Crowder posted online after he was punched. The New York Times reported, a look at the video broadcast on the Sean Hannity show appears to show quite clearly that Crowder left out an important section of the footage when he put together his edit. The unedited footage shows, quote, the man who punched Mr. Crowder being knocked to the ground seconds before and then getting up and taking a swing at the comedian.
Yeah.
Other witnesses who were there were saying he was, obviously, he was trying to start something. All right. Do we have time for, we don't.
No, we don't.
Oh, we're going to have to save Evil Uncle Chuckles till after the top.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Pat Robertson with some thoughts from the 700 Club, which should be very... We should save it anyway for My Personal Comedy Jesus.
That's what I was thinking.
Who joins us next? The Ecclesiastical Mook. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, check it out, you can email us all there, executive producer Chris the Boy, voice CD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, it's Friday, you know what time it is.
Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Fugelsang.
Oh, yeah.
He's so fun.
Oh,
Fugelsang.
Hello John Fugelsang.
Good morning, my Steph heads. How y'all doing out there in L.A. where it's not freezing and disgusting?
It's a little cold this morning. It's in the 40s.
Oh, my God. I had to wear a sweater.
I know.
John Fugelsang, bye-bye. Wait, hang on a second. That's not what I meant. Okay. Hang on. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal. Tickets going fast for the D.C. sexy liberal. You don't even know this yet. Two huge surprise celebrity guests on panel. Chris, Jim, and Jackie all opening for us. Leslie writes, it took me a bit to get used to your format. Yeah. I'm an acquired.
Yeah. Well.
But I love it now. You say things left-wingers are afraid to say. How brave. Fine line. Brave, stupid. Brave, stupid. I just bought VIP tickets to the show. She must have gotten the last ones, John Fugelsang, to D.C. in January. Very excited.
I heard a rumor that all the VIP tickets sold out within days of going on sale.
Yes, but there are still good seats left because it's a smaller venue than we're used to. It's only like 1,800 seats, so even the $45 seats, balcony, great views, all that stuff. So get it.
I can't wait.
And then John Fugelsang tonight. We just had Joy Behar on this morning to promote the Hurricane Sandy relief thing you guys did.
I don't even need to be here.
Tonight,
that's fantastic.
9 o'clock, Current Television Network. Oh, my God, what a lineup you guys had.
Yeah, what a show it was. Whoa, we had to change it to a two-hour special.
That's what I heard.
No, it is, really.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, it sounds amazing, the lineup there, right?
We got a great review in the Wall Street Journal, by the way, for this show on Monday night. Yes, Current and Comedy got a good review with the Wall Street Journal.
Wow, imagine that. Well, you know.
Tell who's in it. Tell who's on it.
Let's see. There is you, John Stewart, Larry David. I can't even. Go ahead.
Colin Quinn, Joy Behar, of course, hosts the whole show.
Susie Essman,
Daryl Hammond, Sherrod Small, Mario Cantone. There's videotape greetings from Al Gore and Stephen Colbert, and Larry David's hilarious on it.
Wow.
Judy Gold is fantastic on it. It's a really great show.
Joy Behar knew some famous comedians of some sort that she could call for a favor. The whole thing might have come together.
We've invited Paul McCartney and the Nirvana survivors to come. We're not sure. Courtney Love was very upset seeing somebody exploit Nirvana who wasn't Courtney Love, so I don't think they're going to come.
I was telling Joy this morning, this is why, you know, us liberals, we do things like this, because here's the headline. GOP aide asks, why don't we wait a few months to deliver Sandy disaster relief? Literally, he said, it wasn't an official bill request. It didn't have the justifying documents. They said they did not have time to complete the justification. Why not wait a few months so we can do that?
Yeah, let some more people die. Come on.
Because there's no oil on the Jersey Shore.
A Democratic aide to a congressman said, homeowners, families, and small business cannot wait a few months for Congress to respond. To the severe need created by Sandy. They need to help now. I mean,
can you believe if it was 5 years ago in Iraq, they'd have the money right away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
And they let the black guy pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, John Fugelsang, we saved some evil uncle chuckles for you. Pat Robertson on the 700 Club in right.
The president is an ideologue. He wants to redistribute wealth, and he wants to grow the size of government. He wants to absorb, like an amoeba, all the various... He's already taken over the good part of health care. He wants to take over the financial services. He wants to take over everything, and he wants to control it. What do you call that? It's socialism. But he wouldn't admit to being a socialist, but that's what it is. I think he thinks ideologically, I must cripple the capitalist class. I must cripple the business owners. I must destroy free enterprise system in America.
You know, you could spend an entire weekend separating the stupid from the lies in that paragraph.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there is not a single true thing he just said. But this is Pat Robertson. His job is getting old people afraid of dying to send him money. And that's what he's doing.
Right. That's what he calls capitalism. Yeah. All right. And we end with Rush Limbaugh on Clarence Thomas. Rush Limbaugh.
And Clarence Thomas illustrates that you can reach the pinnacle of your position without going through the Civil Rights Coalition. You don't have to do affirmative action. You don't have to have the blessing of Jesse Jackson. You don't have to do any. You don't have to have the Democrat Party behind you. You can get there. That, you realize what a threat that is to the Civil Rights Coalition? You realize what a threat that is to the Democrat Party? The Democrat Party wants minorities thinking that they don't have a chance unless the Democrats are their champions.
He called them Democrat Party because that's an inside joke for losers. Wow.
Also,
you know,
maybe
Thomas
we don't
wouldn't
like...
be there without affirmative action.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say.
Affirmative action is why Bush replaced the one black Supreme Court justice with Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because we also might, because he's a really bad justice, has never actually said anything.
Yeah, he's
actually
no talent yet or ability.
Yes.
Never writes and he falls asleep in meetings, and that's exactly the kind of black Supreme Court justice Rush Limbaugh wants.
Uh-huh.
Do as we say, Clarence. Here's your cookie.
By the way, speaking of the big cases, John, coming up Supreme Court, marriage equality, DOMA, Lindsey Graham next to his lover, John McCain. I mean, no, what? That's just alleged. I didn't.
You know, Lindsay, it's going to take a lot more than smearing Susan Wright to make the GOP think you're finally Butch.
He says the United States Supreme Court should not rule that LGBT couples have the right to marry because it's like banning slavery and should require a constitutional amendment.
What? Let's talk.
Okay. John, your thoughts.
Well, here's the thing. It's great. My favorite kind of homophobes are the gay ones.
Allegedly.
Allegedly gay ones. And well, I only heard he was gay from Tea Party website, so that's where I'm getting all my information from on this, because no one hates Lindsey Graham like the Tea Party, okay? And this entire little puppet show that John McCain and Lindsey Graham have done, Joe Lieberman, you'll notice, had the dignity to avoid getting on the Susan Rice pylon. Right now, John McCain is waving Susan Rice's scalp around, trying to make his former friends like him again. But the only reason that Lindsey Graham is doing this is to try to be relevant again within his own party. And so when you make a joke like I just did that they'll finally find him Butch, you'll find the conservative straight homophobes get so offended that you're making fun of a conservative gay homophobe, allegedly, according to Tea Party websites.
Ironically, he said, I have no problem with people having the ability to engage in a free and open life.
Interesting.
Theoretically.
Huh. Primary him.
He said, in my state, we're not going to change the traditional definition of marriage, and I would support the... He's a confirmed bachelor, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a confirmed bachelor.
I'd support the traditional definition of marriage, not out of hate, but if I believed it, I think it's just best for society. At the end of the day, states will come out differently on this issue. I think that's the way it should be.
Best for society, just not for him.
Y'all know Lindsay. He never settled down. He's a bachelor. Lindsay has a friend. He lives with a friend.
My manservant.
Piers Morgan wondered if America could really stand for freedom and genuine equality if half the states continue to view the rights of a homosexual couple and get married in a completely different way. He said, I'm sorry, here's a country that stands on the grounds of freedom, democracy, and equality. Are you all telling me that's fine as long as you're in the right state? That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain, Lindsay's lover.
Cindy McCain would take issue with that.
Of course not. He pointed out the Constitution of the United States said all rights are reserved for the states except those given to the government. Morgan said, would you respect the original rights of the Founding Fathers to allow slavery? Would you allow slavery in some states but not others?
Very good point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is
coming from a guy from the UK.
And then Graham said, can I suggest this? Slavery was outlawed by a constitutional amendment. The people decided. The question for us is who should decide these things. Should it be a handful of judges, or should it be the people themselves? And I come out on the side of the people themselves. I mean, to me, that's such a... To compare it to slavery is...
Isn't that great?
He said, if you want to propose a constitutional amendment legalizing same-sex marriage and it passes, then it's the law of the land. Graham's logic, however, is that one analysis says, ignores the discrimination was enshrined in the Constitution with the Three-Fifths Compromise, which said slaves counted as three-fifths of the person. President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation declared slaves in rebelling states were free, but it was not until after, you know, how many, 620,000 people died in the Civil War that states ratified the 13th Amendment that slavery was outlawed and the Three-Fifths Compromise was rendered moot. So, anyway, what we're hoping we're going to win on, John, is the 14th Amendment, right? Which is
exactly.
Guarantees equal protection under the law to all people. So,
you know, I think we should just get an office pool going of which will be the last state to legalize gay marriage. Will it be Alabama or Mississippi?
I was just going to say, I almost collided getting
gay. Yeah, Mississippi.
Formerly confirmed bachelor Charlie Crist regrets his gay marriage stance. He regrets signing a petition.
He does now.
Hmm?
He does now.
Well, now he's a Democrat. He said, would I do it today? No. Hmm. Huh?
Jesus, Crist!
Wow, guess what, John? There's a new rapey Republican out here in California. A Southern California judge is being publicly admonished for saying a rape victim, quote-unquote, didn't put up a fight.
Oh, God.
During her assault, and that if someone doesn't want sexual intercourse, the body will not permit that to happen.
Oh, come
on. It's
another
one of those guys.
Oh, wow. Has Hannity had him on yet? How you holding up, champ? How them liberal haters coming after you?
Is there some kind of chat room that all of these people go to get these lines like this?
Yeah.
What? Where?
I think
what?
Yeah. He goes to the same bathhouse as Zimmerman.
Or Lindsey Graham.
All right. Aaron in Brooklyn, you're on with John. Hello, Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I just want to say a couple of things about this Reaganomics nonsense that they're resurrecting.
Please.
If anybody remembers when Reagan ran in his first primary, George the Senior, an opponent, named it something. And he called it voodoo economics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. There you go.
Now, in the service, to talk about this trickle-down nonsense, we had a saying that I'm going to clean up just a little bit because I'm not in the service anymore. It says that the feces flows downhill.
Yeah.
So keep your mouth closed.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you for cleaning that up. I appreciate it.
Well, they call it trickle down because it's really all about the gush up.
Yeah.
You know, Pat
Sean.
Robertson. No, I'm not. Listen, so that's what it is. No, it's not. Listen, when you help the bottom 98%,
you're
going to
produce
Pat,
another Santorum surge in a minute. If you
help the top 2%, you're pro growth, and it's not the trickle down. It's the what's gushing up to the upper 2%.
I'm a little nauseated. Seven, 17 minutes after the hour.
My mixed metaphor for the day.
I need to take a quick break. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fugle saying. I did not say that.
Yeah, you did. You sure did.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Jackie's getting Jim an early Christmas free. She's going to switch into her spinning clothes before the end of the hour.
I'm
going
to do a wardrobe change.
So we get to see her in
spandex.
Yeah, all right.
You gave our audience an early Christmas break.
Okay, that's a good reason to buy the Stephcast, only $4.95. Okay, I inadvertently said a really dirty thing. Okay.
It's not really dirty, it's just funny.
Quick and brief are very similar words.
Yes, so and when you mix them together, you get...
I misspoke.
Even Hal noticed. Hal
whatever,
texted
Hal.
Me.
I got enough people here to correct me. I don't need you chiming in when it's not Wednesday. Okay.
Well, that was pretty egregious, though.
All right.
I mean, come on.
John Fugle saying, I hate everyone but you.
Well, thank you. I'll exploit that to the max.
All
good.
Right.
I'm in the soft spot of the cycle.
Yay.
I'll come out there and straighten up your whole room.
Could you take out your organ for me since my ecclesiastical MOOC is here? Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Come unto me, my child.
Fox News host Bill O'Reilly is turning against Christians who he says have not been outraged enough about the so-called war on Christmas.
Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Christians need to be outraged. That's what Jesus would have wanted.
He asked evangelical Texas pastor Robert Jeffress, that guy, why so many Christian leaders are silent when Christianity comes under attack. And Jeffress said Jeffress said a lot of Christian leaders have the wrong idea about Jesus. They see Jesus as this little wimpy guy who walked around plucking daisies and eating birdseed and saying nice things.
Most of the time.
What?
Except for the birdseed part.
O'Reilly said there's a problem in America with Christian forces being weak. He said, that's right, I'm telling you, Bill, wimpy pastors produce wimpy Christians, and that's why we're losing the culture war. Your thoughts?
Thou shalt kill Christians. Huh? Okay, Jesus really said.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. The beautiful thing here is that Happy Holidays is more Christian than Merry Christmas. You want to blame someone for people saying Happy Holidays? You blame capitalism and the business community for not wanting to alienate their non-Christian
right.
customers. That's how your economy works. It's called doing good business. And being inclusive of those with different faiths is called being loving to others, which is called being Christian.
It's the war on Christmas!
He's just the most fake Christian we've got. And this is all a hustle to get your money. But I want to say I was deeply offended because in my neighborhood, I saw that they had a Happy Holidays banner in my local porn and bong shop. And I thought so betrayed the message of baby Jesus, who, by the way, astronomers now think if he lived, he was born in June, which makes him a Gemini,
right.
which makes the whole temple freak out make a lot more sense. So there you go.
Jesus is a Gemini? Well, that explains a lot.
That explains a lot. Because one minute he loved you, the next minute he's
right.
making pigs.
Not as bad as a Scorpio, but still.
And all I'm sticking up for is the baby Jesus.
All right. John, how much do we love us the Onion? The Onion headline is, area woman just itching to complain if anyone objects to a nativity scene in park. Local resident Ann Jacobson announced Tuesday she's champing at the bit to complain to township officials should anyone object to a display of nativity scene recently erected in the community park. Someone's bound to say something, and when they do, I'll be ready to unleash a big tirade about the attack on Christian traditions and our right to publicly celebrate religious holidays. She also confirmed her desire to harshly criticize anyone who takes offense to the Merry Christmas sign above the exhibit. At press time, a disappointed Jacobson looked down as a Middle Eastern woman walked by the exhibit and commented that it was very nice.
Oh, these are my cousins. I have these with me all day with the emails and the chain mails and the postings about keep Christ at Christmas. Well, then keep capitalism out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where we give material possessions to honor the birthday of a guy who renounced having material possessions. And we're upset about
language. When we were kids, what did they say, Steph? You remember? Season's greetings.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right? And no one ever complained about that because they didn't realize you could make money complaining about that.
I love it.
We're here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We celebrate Christmas Hanukkah.
Yes, Christmas Hanukkah, indeed. And by the way, one last thing about these Christians complaining that they're under attack despite being the majority. On his worst day, Jesus didn't play victim.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like these guys.
Like
do.
Sean Hannity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, where's my Rocky Mountain Mike song to poke Sean Hannity with a sharp stick again? You missed, by the way, that I made Hannity's show yet again for left-wing hate speech, John.
Congratulations.
Thank
Who
you.
Were you hating this time, you liberal hater?
I'm going to hell. I don't know if you know for what you can go to hell, but apparently one viewer said I can go to hell for song parodies. I played a song parody.
Really?
About Sean Hannity, yes.
Well, at least you'll be in hell with all the cool people and interesting music.
And just to make sure I get there, here it is. Rocky Mountain Mike.
Whoa, who can take a joke now?
Who can take a joke now?
Like a Christmas tune,
like a Christmas tune.
Wine just like a baby and collect up all his loot.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hannity man,
the Hannity man.
Oh, the Hannity man,
oh, the Hannity man.
The Hannity man, cause he makes up all the scrap to make himself look good.
Make himself look good.
Hey, Marla in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marla.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I love your show,
except
I have one complaint.
Uh-oh.
Okay. We know, your listeners like me know that Republicans are a menace to society.
Oh.
You know, we know that. But I think you spend a little too much time talking about them. I don't care what they say. We know they're liars and everything wrong. So just a little less time talking about them would be nice.
Really? What would we talk about then?
Well, you could talk some about, you know, some things about him I want to hear, but not like Sean Hannity. Who cares what that moron thinks?
Hmm. Well, only when he talks about me, then I care.
I got to disagree with you, love. I disagree. There's a whole lot of people out there in this beautiful, wonderful country who feel really alone because their coworkers and neighbors and housemates listen to things like Hannity, and we are the sanity police.
Yeah.
We're here to bring balance to the force.
We're the sanity to fight the Hannity.
We're here to remind you that we're right, they're wrong, history proves it, and we prove it every day.
We have a little bit of breaking news coming out of Connecticut. Jackie, can you fill us in?
Yeah, it looks like there's a school shooting in Newton, Connecticut, and they say that the gunman has been killed, but there's no word yet on other sources.
It's
an elementary school. Oof. But people are saying there are some injuries. They're not sure yet whether they're children. Some reports saying children, some saying all adults. So I don't have that clarified just yet, but they say shortly after 9:40 a.m., police reported there was a shooter in the main office of the school.
Oh.
So now they're on lockdown in terms of schools in the area. Kindergarten classes have been canceled. We're waiting sort of on more information. They said there's a number of personnel on the scene that are helping out. So we're just kind of waiting to have more information coming in. There's a tag on Twitter, Newton, N-E-W-T-O-W-N, that's got a scroll of updating information.
Okay.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. But they say there is the shooting, at least one dead. They're saying that's the gunman, from what I can tell.
Okay.
And we're waiting for more information.
All right. So we will monitor that as the morning goes on.
Thank you, Jackie.
Yeah. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I dressed up like Santa Claus and left a present in her chimney.
Oh.
Oh, my.
That wasn't
Christmas
me.
Beavers.
I never said that.
Hide itself. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour. Okay. All right, John Bugle sang Sexy Liberal, His Own Bad Self. Those tickets almost gone for Washington, D.C., January 19th inauguration weekend. Sexy Liberal Palooza. It's everybody. Jim, Chris, and Jackie are opening for us, John.
Great.
And we got all four sexy liberals, Aisha and John and Hal and me, and then we have two huge surprise celebrity guests. Do it! Get it! SexyLiberal.com. Get some, what a beautiful holiday gift. Sexy Liberal tickets, Sexy Liberal swag, something.
CDs,
whatever, right?
Downloads.
CDs, downloads. Okay. Thank you. All right, 1-800.
Hopefully a ViewMaster disc by next year.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, ViewMaster.
ViewMaster.
I don't know what that is.
Teabagging in 3D.
You don't remember ViewMaster?
You don't remember ViewMaster?
No.
What kind of sheltered childhood
Stop
did you have?
At me, all of you. For
We're talking about the old ViewMaster.
Chris even has the T-shirt.
I have the ViewMaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
You guys just have such barely concealed contempt for me.
Okay. Barely. What do you mean barely concealed? That's out in the open.
God, they go to a lot of work to conceal it. Yeah, give some credit.
All right. Susan Rice yesterday talking about withdrawing her candidacy for Secretary of State.
I've done Sunday shows many times in the past. Secretary Clinton had originally been asked by most of the networks to go on. She had had an incredibly grueling week dealing with the protests around the Middle East and North Africa that had enveloped our embassies. She had to deal with the loss of our four colleagues in Benghazi and console the whole State Department, greet the families and the bodies, and she declined to do it. And I was asked by the White House if I would do it as the next senior American diplomat.
Wow, no good deed goes unpunished, right?
Yeah.
She dodged a bullet. In
Why?
My opinion. Because she never would have been confirmed anyway because of the Tar Heels pipeline. Her investments in the pipeline meant she would never get in there anyway. This is so win-win for the Obama administration.
Well, somebody was saying that, you know, it just was an opinion. They said they always feel like it's best to have the Secretary of State not come from in the president's inner circle.
But, yeah, and you know what? I think we're ready for a Secretary of State who didn't support the Iraq War. We've had three in a row. I'm ready for someone who thought that was a bad idea to be in charge of our State Department, to be quite honest with you. She's terrific, and I will always defend her for these unfair and evil distortions and sneers on her with Benghazi.
She's just a human trophy to, you know, the likes of John
McCain.
That's what
she's a scalp.
Me.
She's a scalp for irrelevant men to try to seem relevant in their own party again. But she never would have been confirmed. Her investments in the pipeline alone would have guaranteed it. And by doing this, the White House manages to avoid it. That embarrassment while making the Republicans look like the bad guy. It's win-win for Obama.
Susan Rice again yesterday.
We were talking about a range of issues that week. It wasn't just Benghazi, as you'll recall. It was a broad spectrum of foreign policy and national security issues that I talk about publicly every day. So I was asked. I was willing to do so. It wasn't what I had planned for that weekend originally. But I don't regret doing that, Brian. I think when you're a diplomat and a public official, and a tragedy happens, and it is related to the work that you do, it's our obligation to try to explain it as best we can to the American people. And that's what I did.
You know, where they really went over the top, John, was in calling her not bright and incompetent. And that was honestly just so over the top and so unnecessary.
And calling her a liar, you know. I mean, look, she's always – there's a great piece in Daily Beast today about how she's her failing as a diplomat has been that she never bucks authority. She's always been loyal to authority. But, you know, in this case, how is she supposed to know to question the CIA? It's like the way these guys have smeared Benghazi. Again, 9-11 2001, 3,000 dead, and we all have to rally behind the president. 9-11 2012 – 4 dead, and we have to smear the president. Mm. These Republicans are disgusting, and they're fake patriots, and I do feel bad for Susan Rice. I think it's lucky for the White House that she's not going to be nominated. I don't think she would have cleared it, but wow, man, the evil of these horrible men.
One more time, Susan Rice yesterday.
I would have been very honored to serve in that job, just as I'm delighted to do what I'm doing. But yes, sure. How can you not want to, if in my field, serve at the highest possible level?
They were saying, John, that she may become national security advisor if the current, I forget his name, steps down. So, anyway. All right, more importantly, what does Grover Norquist think?
Why do we care?
Because a bunch of politicians want to kill Big Bird because they're loyal to Grover.
Obama may decide to blow up small countries for fun, Norquist predicts. What now?
I think the first lady said he's really good at Scrabble.
Really?
Yeah, so it's either Scrabble or blowing up small countries.
All right.
Although a lot of Republicans are distancing themselves from his silly little pledge.
About time. Yes, they are.
He's confident they will force massive cuts to government programs rather than accept any tax increase. On Tuesday, he vowed to stymie President Obama's agenda so much that the administration will have nothing left to do but launch an unnecessary war.
How's he going to stymie it? By running for office and doing something?
He said, we've got lots of things Obama claims to be for, and we'll make we the Republicans in the House and Senate. Oh, that's funny. I thought his was a nonpartisan tax something group.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make those spending restraints in order to get the continuing resolution for two weeks a month. Obama will be on a very short leash. Oh, there he goes again with that.
Wow.
Fiscally speaking, over the next 4 years, he's not going to have any fun at all. He may decide to go blow up small countries he can't pronounce because it won't be any fun to be here because he won't be able to spend the kind of cash he was hoping to.
Shut up.
Oh, this
Grover.
Just in. Grover Norquist just slipped and fell into a bathtub and drowned himself. It's very tragic
All right.
And ironically funny.
did not happen, Jim. That did not happen.
Sadly.
All right.
Only the onion, maybe.
Yeah. He is very hung up on things of a very small size, though, it seems.
Mitch McConnell, he's accusing pollster of skewing his approval ratings.
Because he's the least popular member of the Senate.
Someone skewed my approval ratings, and they took away my lettuce from my terrarium.
55% of Kentuckians disapprove of his performance. A scant 37% approve. McConnell, they're claiming the polls are wrong, much like Romney did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
polls
he
are
said
wrong.
He accused the pollsters of having an agenda to make Mitch McConnell look bad.
What's the pollster's agenda?
By the way, PPP, the pollster, they were the third most accurate in the 2012 election. They actually have a very good reputation.
PPP is the most let's be fair, it is the most liberal polling outfit out there. However, why doesn't Mitch McConnell start pulling out some people who disagree with this? No one likes Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, no, exactly. And even that's what I'm saying. Even though they're considered liberal, they were the third most accurate behind Nate Silver, and I forget who was second.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Rocky, playing Cuff and Link, and he's still unpopular.
Oh, now, stop it. That's not true.
That's
all right.
Funny.
A Republican pollster said Republicans have run out of white voters.
Uh-oh. Where the white people at?
Republicans.
Can we come over and borrow a cup of...
Can
we come borrow a cup of Caucasian?
Republicans, do you mind if we dance with your white dates? Republicans...
You mind if we dance with your constituents?
Republicans need to dramatically improve their standing with Latino voters or risk becoming a regional party of disaffected whites, according to a study released by a Republican pollster. Republicans have run out of persuadable white voters, he said. They surveyed Latino voters in four states, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, and Florida, and concluded the GOP brand was on life support.
Oh, bless their hearts.
I think the key word was persuadable white voters.
Yeah, yeah.
But running out of dopey
running out of dopey white people.
Yeah. Okay, whatever you say. Bob, it's ready to go.
Kelly in West Virginia. Chris, it's for you.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm a little bothered.
Uh-oh.
You know, I as Steph said, I live in West Virginia.
Right,
Mama. Mm-hmm.
And your mouth disparaged my state this morning.
You know what, though? I can't help it. I'm from Virginia.
Well, then talk about Virginia, Chris.
People in West Virginia disparage people in Virginia. People in Virginia disparage people in West Virginia. It's a thing.
How did you disparage his state?
It might be a thing for you, but it's not a thing for my group of progressive West Virginians that I have worked very hard to get to watch this show.
I'm sorry, Kelly.
Never mind.
I apologize.
And by the way, they disparage people.
My phone blew up. I needed a new phone this morning.
Right.
All of my ladies from every church I work with called me because,
Chris.
Because we had our little... prayer shawl meeting where we go to each other's house every week and we knit and crochet prayer shawls.
Oh my God.
Okay, the other day when it was at
Waiting for Guffman.
You know, and the other day when it was at my house, we were watching your show and you were disparaging Chris as to his value to the show.
Oh yeah.
That's
well,
right.
He disparages everybody, including people that pronounce it disparage.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
All right. Okay.
I apologize, Kelly.
Thank you.
I apologize to the entire state of West Virginia.
Thank you.
I've been to West Virginia. It's lovely in places.
Thank you. There you go again.
What? Beautiful.
Bob
and
Ohio.
Take
me
home.
Bob
it's
and
wild
Ohio.
And wonderful.
I think we got to send Chris to an unregulated coal mine for that.
Yeah. Hi, Bob in Ohio.
Hi, Steph.
You can be the canary.
Great.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Steph. Love your show.
Thank you.
What I was calling about is going back to the fiscal cliff and the Republicans claiming that Obama won't come to the table with any spending cuts, you know, for the entitlement programs. But if you remember, back during the election, they kept accusing him of cutting $716 billion for Medicare. So where's that number now?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think Jonathan Chait, our buddy, wrote this great piece about why are we even negotiating with them? Like, they don't care about deficits. When they're in office, they run them up.
Yeah.
They only care when Democrats are in office and say, we got to cut the social safety nuts now because you guys are spending, you know. When it's them, the minute they get in office, they run up deficits with wars, with tax cuts for the rich. Yeah. Exactly.
We got ourselves surplus. Means you're paying too much tax. I'm going to take care of that.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Oh, I missed that giggle. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments
of Fridays at Fugle Sang and Jackie in Spandex as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hang on.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
Oh, for God's sakes. All right, why don't you beat Jim to a Hitler reference now? You know who else liked disco? Okay.
Hitler.
49 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
You cannot march to disco.
He liked more of the Oompa band.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Don. Welcome.
Question. Is it possible
well, good morning to you, too.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay.
Is it possible to criticize a woman or a minority without being a racist or a misogynist?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's encouraged.
Okay. Now, are there any liberal slash democratic slash progressive
slashers
women or minorities that would fit into that category of being easily criticized?
I've already criticized Susan Rice this morning from the left.
Okay,
I'll give you a good example, Don. I criticized Hillary Clinton a lot during the campaign because I didn't like a lot of the ways that their campaign was being run against Obama. I was an early Obama supporter.
I didn't like how she worked in the Senate. I thought she was the best Republican we had.
Okay, and what about minorities? I mean, can you criticize a minority?
Yes, I've criticized.
Why are you playing dumb, man? Why are you playing dumb with this? Really? You're trying to bait us into some kind of nasty thing. It's so lame. You know,
no,
it's like,
I'm not trying to bait you into anything.
It's Who's called you a racist? Who's called you a racist, friend? Where did
people
they touch
have
you?
Called
Show me on the doll.
People have called me a racist because.
For why? For what? What did you say that made them call you a racist, friend?
My non-support of President Obama.
Who called you a racist for that?
Well, just different people that I've spoken with. I mean, you know, oh, you got to be a racist. You don't want to elect him because he's a black man. You know, black, white,
well, that's
or purple,
incorrect.
Got
nobody,
to do
we,
with it.
We don't. I've never criticized anybody that has criticized President Obama if it's not in some sort of racial terms. Unfortunately, a lot of people on the right have criticized the president in racial terms and using code. You know,
Stephanie calls me and Chris and Jim racial terms when we criticize the president for non-racial reasons. But other than that, that's
right,
true.
Right.
Well, I mean, has it gotten ridiculous to the point where if you say Chicago or urban, that's racist?
It depends on the context.
There are dog whistles. You know what that means.
Right, and there's context.
It's context. You know this. Come on.
Okay,
of course,
well,
don't play dumb.
You know,
yeah, of course there's people who are going to call you racist for no reason. Like, there's people who will say racist things for no reason. We got to be the sane liberals and conservatives to calm the hysteria. Am I right?
Calming hysteria would be a good thing.
Okay, that's what we do here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know who I'm going to calm yours, Don? I'm going to give you $100 of ProFlowers gift code. How about that?
My wife would appreciate
all
that.
Right, then.
All
hang
right.
on, please. I love you, Don.
We love you, Don.
Travis, get his information. And by the way, for the perfect holiday gift this season, go to ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the code Stephanie. There you go. He got $100 worth of non-racist, sexist flowers. There I am, calming racial hysteria left and right. All right, more importantly, Jackie Schechner, stand up. Everybody, let's see that spandex. Work it for mama. Work it. Oh, yeah. Jackie Schechner's in her spinning clothes.
Where's my wah-wah pedal? I can't.
All right. What?
You're being sexist. We just got done.
Jim and I are pigs. Everybody knows this. Okay.
We just got done having a discussion about how non-sexist
Jackie
we were.
Jackie Schechner's hot. I worship her brain, too.
Yeah.
Stop. Oh David in
I just don't want pictures of it.
David in Rochester. Hi, David. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
You know, I've been hearing about how it is that 40% of the taxes that are paid in this country are paid by the wealthiest 2%. And I've also been hearing...
And they control, so, they control 80% of the wealth, by the way. Go on.
Well, that was going to be my next point. So why don't they pay 80% of the taxes?
Hmm.
Exactly. Well, you know, if 80% of the population only controls 6% of the wealth, then I would say the top 20% of the population could pay 94% of the taxes. But I only went to public school. My math's not that good.
Yeah, math is hard, and I'm a girl. Okay, Jenny in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Jenny. Jenny. Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to, I think it's Jackie.
Jenny, Kiel. Jenny.
Lenore in Cleveland, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Steph. My my daughter and I just loved you at the Columbus show.
Oh,
the
thank you.
Show.
Oh,
thank
you.
That was
you,
a great
you.
Show.
You guys were great. We were at the meet and greet, too.
Oh,
my daughter had a little, she was a little tiny thing with a T-shirt that said, aspiring radio slag.
Oh, that's right. I remember. I remember.
That's awesome.
Something to aspire to. Go ahead.
I love that shirt.
The question I have for Jackie is this. When Obamacare, you know, takes full effect and employers have to, you know, offer health care, do they also have to, I mean, are required to pay like a certain percentage of the premiums for like the employee and like a, and his family too, dependents and spouse?
That's a good question. I'd have to look. I'm not entirely sure that there's a mandate on how much they have to pay. I know that they have to offer an affordable option, which means that it can't be more than 9.5% of your income. So basically, they have to offer you something where you're personally not paying any more than 9.5% of your income. So whatever percentage that ends up being on their part. Now, just keep in mind, though, that most employers at this point, especially large employers, offer health insurance already. So we're not kicking in a program that doesn't already exist. They do this voluntarily already. And that's very important to remember, is that we're not having any sort of health care overhaul where we're now mandating employers to do something they don't already do. There's a very large percentage, more than 90% that already do.
My husband's been weighing a job offer where it's an expensive plan, and they'll pay 100% of his premium. They'll offer my daughter, you know, to it, my daughter and I, but it's like $1,200 a month times, times 12.
For you guys.
And for you guys, yeah, they won't pay any of the premiums for us.
It may actually end up being more affordable for you to use the state insurance exchanges. And try to buy on the private market competitively. It just depends. You'd have to weigh what that turns out being, but it may end up being more affordable if you don't have pre-existing conditions now to do something like that.
All right. What awesome! How many awesome healthcare Jackie healthcare corners have we had this morning? How awesome is Jackie Schechner? It's like a healthcare crisis call center.
She's as awesome as not having single payer isn't awesome.
I think she gets him in the night and burns the lights. The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechner.
She does
so happy with Schechner.
Okay. All right.
I feel love.
You are beloved. Oh, speaking of beloveds, another Palin divorce. Look out. Track.
Oh, yeah.
Track,
shocking.
Everybody. Track.
Track.
We got another Palin marriage down, everybody.
Yeah. Well, he gave it a year, you know.
Yep. Track has filed for divorce from his wife of almost 19 full months.
Wow.
Is that a Palin record?
The two's
in
marriage.
Fairness, in Hollywood, that's a golden jubilee, but go on.
The two, by the way, their marriage took place when she was already 6 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Because
that's a Palin family tradition.
Yeah, they're all absence experts. Family values.
Quack on Mary while she was already pregnant. Ha ha ha.
Do you want to do Elmer Fudd calling the Palin kids in
Quack, Twig, Willow. Were you having your favorite rabbit lasagna?
Oh, okay, all right. Got that out of the way. All right. Don't forget, John Fugelsang is in Joy Behar's fabulous, what do you call it? It's called Joy
it's
Behar's
called
Comics
with Benefits.
Comics with Benefits tonight at 9 p.m. On the current television network, which we love.
Please then, watch it. Set your DVRs. Larry David's on it. It's brilliant.
Yes.
He's awesome. And by the by, John Fugelsang live on stage with us January 19th. All of us. All of us for Sexy Liberal Inauguration Weekend, January 19th. Tickets almost gone. Get it. Go. Jackie Schechner, we love you, honey.
I love you guys, too.
Let's go spin. We've gotten fat this whole show. Let's go. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller
Show. Bye, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye, baby.